Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister. In this seminar, Practice What You Preach, I will discuss the results of an international study I did on the key profit drivers in professional businesses. The findings, which include the importance of enthusiasm, excitement, and morale in strategic success, may surprise you. In the last episode in this seminar series, I pointed out that most firms know what they need to do to succeed. Delight their clients, act like team players, develop their employees, invest in new innovations. The list of key strategies is always very familiar. If this is the case, how then do firms actually compete? What really is the basis for competitive advantage? In this episode, I'll present some evidence that there is only one competitive advantage in business. It is one sparkling diamond with a number of facets, different ways of describing the same thing. The facets of this diamond are energy, excitement, enthusiasm, engagement, passion, ambition, determination, drive, discipline. Where these things exist, the company's strategies get executed superbly. Where these things do not exist, even the cleverest strategy brings no benefit. As a result of this analysis, it follows that management's main strategic responsibility is to be, net, the creators inside the company of energy, excitement, passion, drive, and enthusiasm. Alas, all too often, managers don't know how to do this, and they often end up being net destroyers of enthusiasm. For example, it's always valid for a manager to stress short-term financial goals and accomplishments, but if these are the only thing the manager ever talks about, then it can get dispiriting. It actually turns out from the study that the people who make the most money are the ones that don't talk about money all the time. These conclusions are not just the anecdotal conclusions from my 25-year consulting career. They are the solid conclusions of a thorough statistical study I conducted and reported in my 2001 book, Practice What You Preach. Surveying 139 offices in 15 different countries in many different lines of business, I collected data which allowed me to answer a simple question. Are employee attitudes correlated with financial success? The answer is an unequivocal yes, they are. The most financially successful businesses in my database do better than the rest on virtually every aspect of employee attitudes, and those that do best on employee attitudes are measurably more profitable and successful. What is even more powerful, I was able to prove statistically that it is attitudes that drive financial results, and not predominantly the other way around. None of this should be taken to mean that customer service and client relations and quality are not crucial. As we shall see, they are. Conventional wisdom is right in saying that quality and great client service or customer service does get results. However, what conventional wisdom forgets is that great client or customer service is itself a product of other things. To get great client or customer service, it turns out, you must first energize your people to deliver it. And that brings us to what may be the prime mover of this entire chain of effects, the skills and behavior of the manager in creating and driving the energy of the people. So, the profit-maximizing sequence is this. The managers enthuse the employees serve the customers, and the customers reward the organization with profits. However, even though this sequence seems logical and can be proven to be the most effective, it remains true that of all the goals that businesses say they have, make money, please clients or customers, attract and develop talented staff, we have data that the least well done in business worldwide are those related to managing people. And yet, to be weak in this area, as so many companies are, is like shooting yourself in the foot. Not only are people's enthusiasm a key link in the chain of activities that create profits, But we are also living through a war for talent or a people crisis where every business is short of people. Let me read off to you a list of the characteristics of the most financially successful operations in my database. Businesses that were achieving simultaneously double the margins of the average operation whilst also accomplishing double the growth rate. Here's what all the people inside those offices said was true about their businesses. Number one, the employees in that offices agreed that enthusiasm and morale around here has never been higher. That was the top-rated item. Number two, employees reported that management gets the best work out of everybody in the office. Number three, in the most successful companies, there was the greatest agreement that management of our office is successful in fostering commitment and loyalty. Number four, the area of greatest agreement amongst the financially successful companies compared to the rest of the database, the management of our office always listens to our people. Number five, the most successful companies got the highest scores on this sentence. People are more dedicated here than in most other organizations. Number six, considering the office as a whole, the compensation system is managed equitably and fairly. Number seven, greatest agreement, management around here is trusted. Number eight, the quality of professionals in our office is as high as can be expected. And then finally, the item on which the most financially successful offices got the highest scores compared to the rest of the database, management operates in accordance with the firm's overall philosophy and values. They practice what they preach. Notice that what made these super operations successful is that it was the employees saying that these things were actually true in operation, not just management boasting that that's what they believed in. Let me repeat the conclusion. If your people say these things are actually practiced, not just preached, then my database says that I can prove that you will achieve superior financial success. The evidence, alas, shows that these are high standards that few managers or management teams reach consistently. They're not easy to achieve. They require courage, an ability to confront difficult situations, and an ability to take a long-term perspective when many pressures cry out for much earlier gratification. On a related point, the study shows that success in management is less a property of companies, the systems of the business as a whole, but instead is mostly about the personality of the individual manager within the operating unit. Management is trusted is a sentence about individuals, not about systems. My research shows that strategic success is about personalities, not policies. Choose the right managers and you are well ahead in the strategic competitive game. There is, of course, a troubling paradox here. Many businesses, including professional companies, have nothing to sell except their people. Surely it would be a matter of simple logic or simple self-preservation for such companies to excel at energizing their people. But of course, they don't. One possible explanation is that many companies assume that people will be self-starting and inherently self-motivating, and therefore don't work very hard, if at all, at managing them. If managing means reaching out to energize, challenge, exhort, inspire, and enthuse individuals on a real-time basis, then little managing takes place inside most companies. Instead, what passes for management in these businesses is a system of strict financial controls, with periodic general meetings to listen to the latest inspirational speech and unfold the latest branding slogan or mission statement poster. This represents a combination of tight administration and weak attempts at visionary leadership. Even done well, neither of these is managing. When there are only people at stake, as in a professional business, interpersonal skills, social interactions, emotional context, and personal psychology all play crucial roles. As Charlie Green, my co-author on the book The Trusted Advisor, points out, people are not just the brains of professional businesses, they are the heart, the soul, the guts, and the rest of the anatomy as well. What continues to surprise me is how many people I meet for whom this is an uncomfortable and sometimes unfortunate necessity. Many managers and other professionals feel most comfortable within the intellectual, rational, or artistic boundaries of their field. The realm of dealing with people, yuck, and human emotions, horrors, is something they feel unprepared for and inclined to avoid whenever they can. I confess to sometimes feeling this way myself. Wouldn't it be nice if even occasionally we could just be purely rational and analytical without having to deal with the sloppy, messy emotions that dealing with human beings requires? Yes, some of us think it would be great, but it's not an available option. And certainly if not for those charged with managerial or strategic responsibilities. Further, when selecting people to become managers, companies tend to focus on business skills, marketing or financial management, rather than people skills. The ability to energize others, the key to strategy, is rarely a primary criterion for choosing managers. I need to stress that the findings of my research are not that strategy works when your people are happy. That's nice, but that's not what the data is saying. Instead, I'm reporting that you achieve greater financial success when your people are turned on and are actually engaged in pursuing with excitement the declared standards and strategy of your firm. There's a difference between being happy and being turned on. Let me give you another list from the study which makes this point, but gets a little more specific. I asked about 74 things in my survey and had the computer tell me whether any of the 74 were more predictive of profits than any other. The computer, obedient little beast that it is, identified 9 things that can account for over 50% of all the variations in profitability in my database, regardless of size of operation, country of operation, or which industry sector the company was in. Just knowing whether your people agree on these things will allow me to be more than halfway of predicting your financial success. Here's the list of the key 9 factors. How would your employees agree or disagree on these things? Number 1, customer or client satisfaction is a top priority at our company. What would your employees say? Number 2, we have no room for those who put their personal agenda ahead of the interests of the clients of the firm. Only team players allowed. Would your employees say that's true? Number 3, those who contribute the most to the overall success of the office are the most highly rewarded. Number 4, again, one we've heard before, management gets the best work out of everybody in the office. Number 5, around here you are required, not just encouraged, to learn and develop new skills. Would your employees, top to bottom, say they are required to learn new skills? Number 6, we invest a significant amount of time in things that will pay off in the future. Do your employees believe that you are betting on the future? Number 7, people within our office always treat others with respect. I was surprised to find that was in the profit drivers, but it is. Number 8, the quality of supervision on client or customer projects is uniformly high. Something as basic as supervision, it turns out, actually is a profit predictor. And number 9, again a phrase we've heard before, the quality of professionals in our club is as high as can be expected. Now, if you think about that list, all we've said is that you make more money if you focus on clients, act like team players, get the best out of people, learn new skills, blah, blah, blah. This is the work manual for the pyramids. It's all obvious old stuff. Yes, it is, and here's my repetitive point. Not everybody's actually doing it. Strategy isn't about creating new ideas for success. It's about actually implementing the old ones. This concludes Practice What You Preach, the 3rd episode in my 14-part series, Strategy in Professional Businesses. Upcoming seminars in this series will focus on creating an adaptive firm, how companies should add value, and how to think about mergers, geographic expansion, and diversification. Today's seminar was based on a chapter in my book of the same name, details of which can be found on my website at davidmaester.com.
This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set, from my website, davidmaester.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.